Kyle, can you see my screen?
Chickentenders.com.
We're looking up food and how many missed opportunities there are in the internet. There's like endless missed opportunities between chickentenders.com, hamburger.com.
Hamburger.com?
Under construction. Yeah, right.
Oh.
AKA,
yeah,
I'm
someone's
to
squatting
pay.
On that.
Yeah. All these things are just being squatted on. Milkshake. Actually, milkshake.com is a thing, but it's stupid. Oh my god. It's been so long since we've last talked through microphones.
Is this where we actually start the podcast, or should we just...
I don't know. I was just saying hi.
What's up?
Oh, nothing much. I don't know. Nothing.
Cool.
What's up with you?
This week has gone by for me slowly because I've been in React Native all most of the week and it hasn't been fun.
Oh, why not?
It never, like...
Never was.
It never worked. It just doesn't do the things that I wanted. Like, it feels still like a new dev environment, and every time I jump into a new dev environment, there's so much more time spent just getting everything working locally.
Oh, yeah.
And so I spent like a full day just trying to make it work and then try and figure out how to do the things that I want to do. It's nice. It's cool because, like, hey, I can contribute to iOS and Android app like immediately. But
yeah,
it's terrible because I can contribute immediately.
right. Double-edged sword.
Yeah. I mean, some of the things that, like, that I was able to get done took like 30 minutes. But setting it up and getting it to the place where I could actually do the work took like half a day. So it's like half a day of setup and figuring out what's going wrong on my system. And then 30 minutes of work. That's just kind of frustrating.
That is really frustrating.
From coming from like the web where I just know stuff for the most part will work.
Why do you think it takes so long to get it set up?
Random things, I think. I don't know. Like, some of it, the reason is because the apps have been long running, and I think this happens with any kind of app that I've been working on. I feel like I stop working on it and start again. And things have been worked on or upgraded. Like, my machine just has a hard way. Yeah. Like, even if I have all the right package and library managers installed, it still's like, huh, you have these old things, but also these new things. And we're kind of sure what we want to do with them, but not really.
Mm.
So some of it's just like continually like wiping my computer away and reinstalling things.
Sometimes if I'm not on a project for a while and then I join again and I just pull for master and then my machine explodes, and then I can't get the server running because there are multiple commands that are either not in the README or they're just kind of commands that developers know, like, automatically to just kind of run through. So I've gotten better at knowing what errors need which commands to fix, you know, but I have so many starred and so many screenshots of times when I've asked, like, how do I fix this error? And now in my system for cataloging those screenshots is like so weird. It's like in a Dropbox folder with random screenshots of just little commands that I've learned along the way. It's like a little file.
I feel like that, though, is exactly why I don't like React Native, is because for Rails, or like, I'm working also on a Django project, and I think I have a good handle on the dev environment once I can understand what the errors are. Mm-hmm. And I still don't understand what the React Native error, like, some of them, yeah, I do, and some of them I'm like, I have no idea what that means. And they're just not helpful at all. Whereas, like,
I know, yeah,
the Django ones are amazing. They're like, well, this is the problem. We think this might be the solution for you. And it's like things that, wow, I know how to do in Rails, but didn't in Django. And it's just like, oh, this is like amazing, you just told me how to fix it.
Oh yeah, that's amazing. Even Elm too, I had a couple of Elm projects, and there, those error messages that get spit out are very particular. It's very, just very helpful to kind of go through and know where the issue is instead of, ooh, unknown stuff happened. Like, I was on a website the other day trying to build an email template Oh, what a can of worms. For Outlook 2016.
Why and was that it for process, such a specific email client?
Well, the it's an internal tool, and the team all use Outlook 2016 Windows.
Are they forced to do that?
It's like a data compliance thing. It's, for some reason, the older and crappier something looks, the more secure it feels. For, I don't know how that's a thing. If it's old, trust it, which sounds crazy. Because when you do like the litmus screenshot test, like using that program, that kind of shoots your email through all the millions of different email clients and gives you screenshots of them. When you look at the Outlook ones, they just look so bad compared to all the other ones. I'm like, oh, here's my intention and here's what got crapped out like an email client for Outlook.
Does Outlook still use the Microsoft Word HTML rendering?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh man, that's awesome. That must be like, that must have been so much fun.
I did the email and then I tested it. I did a bad thing where I waited too long to look in Outlook. You know what I mean? Like I designed the email and it looked good. And then I was like, okay, now I'm going to test it in Outlook. And it was an absolute horror show. I mean, the fonts and the text highlighting now. God forbid you do a text, a gradient. Shadows? No way. Like, no way. So I went back and I blew it up and got rid of every style. First, I did everything inline because I was using CSS before, just like declaring CSS in the style tag in the head. But I went back and added in one style at a time. I had like 40 test emails. And then it all worked out. And in the end, all that work, Kyle, got me like a mediocre looking email because I couldn't like use any like fun styles or anything. It's like, oh, great. At least this blue looks good. Sweet blue color.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Did you use tables too for the layout?
Well, so we used this service called SendGrid, which they have this template. You can either do it straight up code, so you build it completely by yourself, or there's like a WYSIWYG type kind of a thing. But I cheated and I used the design WYSIWYG, but you can drag in an element that's just code. So basically I wrote the code how I wanted to do it with divs and whatnot instead of tables, but they just injected my code snippet into like 60 tables, I think. So the output is, it's, I don't know, inspiring to some, but not many.
That's a pretty handy service though. Of like, hey, this is how I would build this email using like real standards.
Exactly.
And it just takes the email and just like, yeah, here's some really crappy markup and style.
I know. When you view the source, like, you know, when you inspect, you know how it's just all nested, right? As you inspect element. Like, I had to scroll a lot to get to, like, what I wanted to find. Like, to find my header. There was so much nesting happening by injecting my clean code into, like, 80 tables.
Table upon table upon table.
It's really nuts how fast technology improves. And it's crazy how this kind of thing, it has not changed since when I started, you know, like, 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's probably because HTML emails are like, they shouldn't be, I don't know, just send me plain text.
But everyone's doing emails. God, everyone's sending emails. Everyone, everywhere. I have a whole email account for those emails. I like give out, it's kind of embarrassing too, because I give out a Yahoo email address. I've had that since like 1993 or something. So when I'm in like a store and they're like, what's your email? And I give them my @yahoo.com. I feel like I'm like 83. It's like so much. I should just give Hotmail or AOL. I might do that.
Oh, that would be awesome. See, I'm a jerk. And when they ask for those things, I do the Gmail trick of doing the plus. And so I'll just do my email plus spam.
Oh, damn.
And so those just get filtered to my spam.
Dude, you say that out loud?
Yeah.
What? Oh, man. That makes me so happy.
I don't want their marketing emails.
Oh, it's KYLE plus spam @upyours.com.
Oh, I wonder if at chickentenders.com.
Chicken tenders. Wait, let me look up upyours.com. It's so distracting.
I don't even know how we got here.
I don't know. Well, we were going to do, like, look at designer news.
Oh, yeah.
That's
we were going to have a new segment.
That's why I have my computer with
me. News segment. This week in news.
Yeah, designer news.
Designernews.co. I've got it up. Okay.
Awesome.
You ready for these? The first one is a new website for No Name. I don't even know what No Name is. This is it's a big Helvetica site website about No. Oh, it's making fun of landing pages, probably, maybe.
Oh, one of those. Yep. It's like one of those generic websites with like three buckets, two buckets, logos at the bottom. Why is this like the top one? Oh, it's only 13 upvotes. This must be a huge community. I'm going to go on Hacker News too.
This is turning into a terrible segment.
So new website for No Name.
Oh, maybe this is a thing, but for Canadians. I don't know. Man.
What's this wrong? This is such a nightmare. I'm gonna have a dream about this tonight. Or maybe like in 2 months from now. It's going to sneak up on me.
I don't understand what's going on that website, which is I shouldn't upvote it. So the next one is ask. Looking for designers to answer my short thesis questionnaire about your satisfaction with your storage and sharing solution. The next one under that is redesign my agency's website. What do y'all think? The next one under that is how to design and develop a beautiful blog from scratch. The
is
next
this
one up
news?
After that is micro copy, tiny words with a huge U. So that one sounds like it could be interesting.
Tiny words with a huge UX impact.
It's got four upvotes, but it's just someone talking. It's like a comment. I don't understand this. I don't understand this anymore.
The embarrassment I'm feeling is like spreading throughout my body.
This is ending up being a segment that we might not keep. The next one is 10 new open source Bootstrap themes. Have you ever used Bootstrap before to design a website?
I think so. Either I took the plunge and started it, or I joined tons. I mean, I've joined tons of projects that had it already in like past lives and stuff. And it made me very sad. There was a lot going on for just a simple no-name website.
I wonder how popular Bootstrap still is. Like, there was a while where, like, every site I saw was, like, some sort of bootstrappy type design thing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like things have gotten away from that. I also feel like a lot of these themes don't look really great. Man, we've already struck out here. The next one after that is Screencast for the Experienced Designers, The Frontier. That's a sponsored one. They're getting even more sponsorship here.
God.
The news today is not very great.
The news today it's more like olds, not news. There is one that's like, stop playing fix it ping pong with your developer.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. You know, you ever get into those one-off conversations where it's like, hey, can you move that? Like, hey, can you just fix this thing really quick? Like when it used to be more of like a waterfall-y type place. I don't know. It was just like a different environment where you're like, hey, can you move this thing over here? Sure. Great. Oh, by the way, can you also do this? And like after five, you're like, can we just put this in somewhere else? Like we put this in like a document. Like I'm doing all these one-off changes and it's like really annoying.
I do. This is essentially why I taught myself how to write HTML and CSS is because I'd get...
Yes.
So annoyed and
yes,
like,
me too.
So I don't feel like I have this problem anymore. But also, like the other way to fix this is just have the designer and developer sit next to each other. Like, I feel like the fix for this, they're trying to. They have an app. This is like one giant ad for.
I just saw that. I was gonna tell you. Oh, it's sponsored.
So yeah, I mean the fix for this is just have the designer and developer sit next to each other. Or talk to each other more than messaging and have developer be involved from the start and designer be involved from the start. I feel like this should be a process thing, not a new product.
I agree.
Communication is hard, though.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, you have to ask why is that happening? What'd you say?
So I can understand. Yeah.
It's also hard for remote teams.
Yeah.
If you can't sit next to each other.
I mean, you can still hop on, like, Hangout or video call or whatever.
Yep.
But also, I feel like if you're making those kinds of design changes.
That's true.
There's A, some sort of communication that's going on that's wrong. And B, like, probably something more important for the developer and the designer to work on. But I also, like, think that this tailors to, like, the stereotype of, like, the print designer that's moving over to the web. That I don't know if it's, like, a stereotype anymore of, like, they're not really sure what they're designing for. And that kind of pixel precision isn't necessarily needed.
That's very well put. And it's never just one change. That's, like, a whole can of worms if you're ever still in that position where you are, like, ping-ponging back and forth, you know? You should talk. Set aside time.
Yeah.
Together.
To be people.
Yeah. Just be a person. That's good.
Yes.
Speaking of being a person, there's one link here about...
Are we still doing Titus. News section?
There's one more. Because this is kind of interesting.
I've closed out my news.
Well, are you on the hunt for a design job? Question mark. Avoid these common pitfalls when presenting your portfolio.
Oh, what are the pitfalls?
Well, since you have yours closed, can you guess the one of them? There's five. There's five pitfalls.
Five pitfalls. One of them is just like not talking about the work and process.
Oh.
Is that not on there?
What do you mean? Oh, you mean like...
just showing a bunch of pictures.
Like, gotcha.
Of final work and not showing how you got to that final piece.
That is something. But there's just a whole article here and maybe it's in there. This is a freaking disaster zone. Yeah, you're completely correct. I've seen portfolio sites where they're just images. And I have no idea what to make of them. And I know that, like, writing about it, I know, like, for my own site, writing about the stuff, I'm like, God, there's just no one's gonna read this. Like, it's just, and then I'm thinking, like, well, less is more. And then I'm like, yeah, but I'm not explaining it correctly. And then I think just having an explanation there for us is, like, when we view it, it's nice to know what's there, you know, like, oh good, like if I want to really read all of this, I will. But if it's just like nothing there.
Yeah. I do read through that.
Yeah,
when it's thoughtfully written.
Yeah,
I think that's it's important for us as consultants because we need to be explaining our design decisions to clients. So it's important to be able to write, and it's not like certainly not an easy thing. And it's like much easier to just throw a final like screen grab of what you built. And I do that all the time on Dribbble, but I'm also not really looking for a job. So
yeah,
I guess.
And it's Dribbble.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also tell when I'm trying to help give advice to designers like starting out, I tell them to be sure to put projects on there. You know, less is more, and put projects on there that you would definitely want to do again. Like stuff that interests you and not just put everything up there for the sake of volume, for the sake of showing all your different, you know, like what are the three, if anything, at most three things that you worked on that you can really dive into and you know inside and out and that you would 100%, like 10 out of 10 would do again.
Yeah.
I'm also realizing that this is about like when you're actually presenting it like to a company.
Oh.
That's interesting.
Does that happen?
I guess like when you're going through it together.
True.
You know.
I was just picturing someone like standing up in front of like a crowd of people. But yeah, that makes sense. I mean, we do portfolio reviews, so
yeah.
Presenting a portfolio piece.
Mm-hmm.
So that news segment was awesome.
Oh, we're just going to keep doing it. That's the first one is always the first cut. The first cut is the deepest. It'll be better. Also, too, maybe this isn't the right website. I don't know. I quickly started typing in like designnews.com, designer news, and I kept getting wildly different results.
Yeah, the only other one that I can think of is instead of designernews.co is the sidebar. I don't know. Is that sidebar.io? They also do like aggregated news type thing.
Well, Hacker News has always been one of my favorites too. And it's,
I feel like that might be even more dangerous.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and that's such high traffic too that there's, you know. Well, this has been an eye-opening experience for me personally. I feel like I've grown immensely as a person in terms of trying out new things,
not having a plan
for them.
Yeah. This for me has been eye-opening in that, like, I'm sort of scared for our design community at large. Like, if this is...
That's a good point. Maybe we should make our own news aggregator site, Kyle, and call it potato.net.
Potato. We could do... What about potato?
How would you spell potato? Like, how would you spell that?
That'd be so hard
to market, right? Maybe if I wrote po and then tayto.
There, you like hyphen I'm, po.
Oh, it's taken.
Potato.
Dude, oh my god, I'm gonna try it. Potato. This is terrible, and the amount of weird websites that I'm looking at. It's bad. I think I'm going to be hacked any day now, I think. I think I've dropped a footprint somewhere. I know that's not a thing, but maybe it is. The internet is a very
Someone's
deep,
tracking
dark. It's
you
like
now.
The ocean.
They're like, oh,
someone
she
is.
She wants a potato website.
Maybe I just kicked off some algorithm about stocks and potatoes, and now maybe we all should do something with our potato stocks. I'm not going to say buy or sell because I'm not an insider. I don't know anything about stocks.
Potato stocks?
Yeah, I wonder what the stock is like. How much potato stocks are.
Potatoes?
I don't know, man. This is very dangerous having the internet at my fingertips. I was thinking about how it's crazy that our job involves using this machine that you're one tab away from finding anything you want. Like, and looking up anything you want in the world. How do we stay focused? God.
I don't know.
How do you stay focused?
I am curious about that.
Me too.
I started Deep Work, which is like about that.
What's deep? Wait, what? What is that?
Deep Focus. Or what? I don't even remember the name of the book I'm reading.
Oh.
That is how focused I'm not.
Deep Work Focus. It's like not even the right... Okay. Well, tell me more about that. Is it
deep work?
What is it doing?
See, I got it right.
Good for
it's
you.
Just it's just Friday and I'm second guessing myself and I just I'm not in the zone.
Oh.
I'm not focused.
I know, cuz you have to go in like a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're thinking. I know. I hear
I'm
that.
Not, I'm still at like 9 o'clock in the morning. Like, what is going on?
Oh, God. Yeah, today's been a really fast day.
The book is called Deep Work, Rules for Focused Success in a Distracted World. It's by Cal Newport. It's really interesting.
How far along are you in the book?
A couple chapters. Like, I'm not very far at all. I've been very distracted, apparently.
God,
which
so
is
funny.
Yeah, why I haven't gotten very far in the book. But it's so far, it's been a really good read. And it's a lot of the stuff is stuff that I already kind of had thought about. It's nice that like someone's taken the time to write it down and put it in a concrete and formal setting. But it's things like having chunks of time to do your like creative work and then having chunks of time to do your meetings and socializing and stuff. So it talks some of it, what it talks about. It opens up with, oh God, I'm going to butcher Carl. Is it Jung or Jung? You know, the famous psychologist.
I don't know.
At any rate, it starts with him and essentially what he used to do was like, he bought a house up in the woods that was away from everyone and like didn't have any distractions and he'd go there to do his deepest thinking. So essentially, like, it's just about, so far, how people have removed themselves from places that could be a distraction to do some, like, cognitively intense thought process.
Are you, where's your, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go?
I don't know.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I learned that in college where I couldn't do any schoolwork in my dorm room. Could not. There's just no way. I was so distracted. I want to hang out. I don't want to do that. So I had to remove myself and go to the study lounges where you walk in and all there are is just little cubicles that you sit at. And that's it. That's the only thing in there. And it's like nothing. And it was ugly. I didn't want to look around me because it was ugly. And that's the only way I was able to like write all my papers and stuff.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
When I went to the Mac Labs in college, it was like a social event. Like we would go and sneak in alcohol because we weren't allowed to have it in there. And we weren't focused as we could be.
That's fun.
But it was a lot more fun.
Yeah, this wasn't even a Mac. There was no computers in it. Like, it was a BYOC. Like, you had to bring your own. And it was just wooden desks with little panels, like, on either side of you. So you can't see other people's work. I don't know. Like, just to help you not be distracted.
Yeah.
I spent so many hours in those rooms. And I'd be able to sit at a giant table and spread out tons of, like, textbooks and all that stuff. I do not miss that.
I mean, some of the things that I do like, when I am doing concrete craft design work is mm-hmm. like I'll shut Slack off, I'll turn off my email, I'll like go into silent mode and I'll put on my headphones and put on some music or some white noise, and just like that helps me get into the zone. And so like I've done that. I've made sure that when I am doing that kind of work that I've essentially have the entire day to focus on that work, as opposed to having meetings that'll interrupt me and take me off track and put my mind in seven different directions. So
that's a good idea.
Yeah. I think those are the two things that I've done that have helped me focus a little bit more. I'm interested to hear the rest of the book and see what else they say. I certainly like can't disappear for months at a time. I would like to propose that. Just me like going off. I put it on the Thoughtbot card, some random hut right outside of Texas, and I just go there and think.
Oh my God. Kyle's think hut.
Yeah. And I'll come back in a couple months with this like
with a beard. Of course.
I was gonna say like amazing, like deep thought, but you just say like beard. That's probably right.
A beard and a new lease on life. That's the new Kyle.
I wonder how quickly I would get bored.
I think you got to push past the boredom.
Right. I think that's part of what he's proposing.
It's like getting into the ocean. It's like really hard to get in there. But then once you're in, you're like floating around and having a good time.
Yeah. You got to embrace the boredom. That's where your deepest work happens.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about this a while ago in terms of like trying to do, like for me personally, like trying to do art and trying to push past that wall in the beginning of like, I'm so distracted though, like, and then really like doing what you said, turn off everything, hide my phone, and just really push through those first few minutes or 20 minutes or whatever of like your brain just kind of detoxing, you know?
Yeah.
Yikes.
I like the notification detox.
That would be a good experiment to do. We should put that on our experiments Trello board. Kyle lives in a hut.
For 3 months.
Hypothesis, objective, like outline all those things.
I have a feeling that that's not going to get okay.
What if it's Pizza Hut? What if we just like, we change the scope a little bit?
Kyle works from
Pizza Hut.
That doesn't have the same end result.
You never know until you try. And how could you get bored in a Pizza Hut? I mean, there's so many things to look at. So many things to eat. Man. And that smell. Oh, man.
The pizza smell.
It's been a while. The Pizza Hut smell. Pizza.com. Let's see what's happening on that. One last thing. Ugh. Everyone loves pizza. Pizza.com.
Nice. So is someone squatting on that or?
Yeah, it's like an aggregate. Yeah, there's like links. Pizza games. Fun facts. Oh, I'm so curious.
Do you think someone owned, there's like the potato domain person and then there's the pizza domain person? Like,
definitely.
I kind of want to buy these smart people beers and like talk to them about this stuff. I probably
don't.
Very
interesting.
But I like the idea. I think this is a good point to end.
Agreed. One pizza fact.
Oh, pizza facts.
Yeah, there's pizza fun facts, not just regular facts.
I think here is another segment. Should I do my segment intro music?
Yeah, do it. Okay. Enough segment noise. Whoa. What? This, I'm not sure this is true. Americans eat approximately 100 acres of pizza a day, or about 350 slices per second.
Jeez.
America runs on pizza. Let's get it straight.
That's a lot of pizza.
Oh, Domino's is the world leader in delivery. I don't know where these facts are coming from. I think I might be trolling everyone right now.
This might be owned by Domino's and
it's so true.
Subliminal message.
Good point. Okay. Well, I guess we'll end on that then.
Yep. Subliminal Domino's message.
You can find show notes at tentativefm/52. You can tweet at us at tentativefm or email us at hosts@tentative.fm. And please do all of those things.
Rate us on
and
iTunes.
And tell us what you're... Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Say that one. Go for
rate
it.
Rate us
say
on
it.
iTunes.
Mm, yeah.
Tell your friends about the podcast and about how we talk about potato domains.
Yeah. And tell us your favorite squatted domain. Your also fun pizza fact as well. Please.
Yeah.
And let us know if there's any other fun facts you'd like us to talk about next time. Thank you.
Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by ThoughtBot. We are experienced designers and developers who turn your idea into the right product. With local studios in Boston, San Francisco, New York, London, Austin, and Raleigh, let's build something great together.